Ross, can you maybe start with an update on Fifey and Sandilands? Will they play this week?
We're aiming for them to play, yeah. So if they hit all their markers and sports science tick them off, they're obviously good enough to come straight back in and play. So, yeah, well, it's looking likely.
With Sandy, seeing what Sean Darcy did the other day, can you play them both together? Do you have to, is it one out, one in, or...?
Yeah, I'm not sure who Peel are playing this week, so Aaron might be good for him down there. So. Yeah. Look, it's something we're going to have to look at if they're both available. We've been down that path before, but we've liked the mobility of one. So, look, sometimes hard decisions have to be made in AFL footy, and if we have to make a hard decision, we will.
How do you think Brendan Cox has gone in his role, Ross, the 2 weeks he played? Is that
really pleasing, yeah. He is very athletic, he's clean with the ball, and he's good with ball in hand, so, and he can really cover the ground, he's quick, so he's been really pleasing. I think everyone should see him like that. I thought he had an impact on the game. He takes what he should take. He's got a lot to work on and improve, but we see a real future for him. It's been really, really pleasing.
Sorry.
Is that how you see him, or I'm just feeling like, how you see him?
Yeah, really good football.
Yeah. So, but quick for a big man and agile. And I think that's the key. If you're going to be, you know, and they talk about key fours now, 200 and that, but at the end of the day, once you get past 196, it really is about agility and speed, the ability to get back on the ball. Is a really important feature, and he's got that for us. He did a bit of rucking, so and the effect of that puts pressure on Matthew Tavernier and Kirsten and McCarthy to continue to perform. So it's nice to have a bit more positional depth, and it keeps people hungry. So yeah, he's made quick ground. So it's a credit to our development coaches. We've worked with him, and it's a credit to him that he's come in. He was an All-Australian. We think his best position is back, by the way. So he's an All-Australian centre-half back in the under-18s. So, yeah, there's a lot to work with. But League Footy, we all know it's not about one or two. It's the ability to rise to the challenge of preparation and performance every week, and we'll build that resilience in. And that we know that comes with a bit of time as well. So, but he's right on. That's him now.
He's happy with what he's done. Yeah. I think he got down to pick 41. Were your recruiters a little bit surprised that he slid that far with the tools that he's...
Well, recruiters always pump their picks up and quite everyone else's. So I think it was the same with him. Yeah, we always get a steal somewhere.
Just with the Fife injury, I guess there were a few people surprised that even with the bye week off, he couldn't get up the last week. How serious was the injury and how's it...
Yeah, I don't know what context to put into, except he pushed the play last week and he trained, but he wasn't playing in the manner that we desired and he desired. So he's really courageous. We know that. I've seen him play with a broken leg, as you have. So someone's got to save him from themselves and make a hard decision. He was prepared to play, but we took it out of his hands. And our doctors make the final call. In the end, the doctor ruled him out and said, you'll benefit greatly from this, and so he is really up and about and keen to play.
Yeah.
So really, it's, what is it, 21 days without any contact. So you think he'd be in pretty good shape.
And this might sound like a weird question, but a Bruce...
Not coming from you, Justin. not even hearing it.
A Bruce, I mean, obviously normal bruises don't take too long to recover from, but it seemed like he was carrying this for quite a while. Can you give us some insight?
What's the question?
Well,
he was carrying it for a while, or...?
Yeah, like how come a bruise kind of carried
on? I don't know, I might have left a medical degree at the door. That's not... Bone bruising takes a while. So, but I think if you get some repeat hits, sometimes you almost get over and then you might cop one. That's what happens, so... There's certainly nothing sinister in it, except that part of it... Yeah, sometimes it can just be a bit of cartilage that you inflame. So I didn't even buy into it. I was unaware that he had more invest in one of the games. So because there was no noises made of it, I get medical reports, but it was always just he's a bit bruising, a bit sore. So if that helps you a little bit, that's the framework it's been in the whole time. But it just was lingering a bit too long for our liking, and really I thought about it and then spoke with Nathan, and then we got the doctors back involved, and at the end of the day we thought it'd be better for him. Take, if you stack it up with the buy, so it's 21 days now, that's a long time. So now he's raring to go really, but he's still got it. We think he'll get through and play. If Nathan walked in now, he'd go, yeah, I'm playing. So, but the conservative aspect, he's got to get through the training.
Would you look at playing him forward a little bit more? I know him and Mundy went forward a bit early, and that was almost when your forward line worked best this year. Would you look at sending him forward a little bit more to try and give Kirsten and or McCarthy a chop out of it?
Yeah, it's a really good point, because everything you said is true, and then we've been forced, and we wanted to get David Mundy back into the midfield when Nathan wasn't there. So I think with Mundy's in really good midfield form, and Hill and Neil and those guys, and the move of Lockie Well to the wing, makes us more flexible. So I think it does avail itself for Nathan to go forward, because we know he's an absolute strength down there in the air and a competitive beast. So, and just having him around will make Kirsten and McCarthy and everyone feel walk a bit taller. There's no doubt about that.
What have you made of Kirsten McCarthy's form? There's a little bit of focus on them after the Geelong game. Is it the way the ball's going in, or is it something they're not doing right to get enough of the footy?
Yeah, well, it's always a combination. It's always a combination of delivery and what the opposition are doing. And are they the absolute best? Well, I wouldn't have thought so, but, you know, delivery and connection needs to improve. So they were, you don't always kick them, but you see they'll kick, you know. So, yeah, not at their absolute best, but both of them are working through that, and, you know, we see great possibility in them, so we're very supportive, and but we want them to continue to grow. There's no doubt about that.
So you persevere with those guys both this week? So.
Yeah, well, that's the aim. Yeah.
After you've reviewed the game, Ross, do you see more positives than negatives to come out of the Geelong game?
Yeah, well, I would have thought so. I don't really... Historically, come in and go, we've got X players under 10 games and we've got this under 30, and we want to win. We walked away disappointed, but the dual narrative of what we're trying to do, we're all across that, and that storyline, that doesn't disappear because you get the 6-3. That was the important piece of it. When you get the 6-3, you know, we're not caught up in that. We'd like to win, and our fans and members. So we walk away from that saying our first half, when we were able to sustain what we wanted to do, and we had a few a little bit underdone, to be truthful, didn't we? Like, without going into too much detail. So therefore, I like the brand we played, I like the way we moved the ball. But in the second half, some things fell away a little bit, and that's a little bit to do with youth. It's a cauldron down there. It's a tough environment to go, as like it is to fly up to Subiaco. So I think if you go... two first gamers, two second gamers, someone playing their fourth, and a number under 30. It was a strong performance. And if you think, no Sandilands, McFarlane, that'd be nice, but no Fife, no Alex Pierce, no Bernal. There's a little bit to like if you're projecting forward, really. So, yeah, there's a dual narrative, but we want intensity of improvement. It's not, we're just going to draft kids, play kids, get a couple through and just all sit on our hands for 3 years. We want intensity of improvement. We want to prepare and play like it's a grand final. We want everyone to improve at a quicker rate of knots. That's what we're aiming to do, and I thought we took a step forward on that on the weekend. That's what we took out of it, coaches and players together. That if you really focus and you make a lot of deliberate choice to get into action, you can improve, but it's a tough competition.
Is Harley Bennell any chance for Peel this week, or is it still a week or two?
No, he won't play this week. Yeah, but you can film him. He's out training today with the group. He's really coming along quite nicely. And really, in reality, we probably pushed Harley beyond what he needed to be pushed, trying to create something like Superman, really, when he, in theory, probably could have been playing. So, but we're learning some lessons on how to handle Harley.
How far away do you think he might be from running out for Peel?
Yeah, I haven't got an exact answer, but it's building, yeah. I mean, again, the storyline hasn't changed, so you'd come with some background to it. What are you thinking?
Oh, you explained it pretty well over the year, but we just sort of, I think we all want to see him out there running around.
Yeah, so. No one more than me. So, yeah, he's getting there. We've always kept you fully informed, you know. So we're hopeful it's in the near term, you know. So He'll play next week. I'm pushing to play next week. That's Harley. And then you got S&C saying, well, you had that two-week period. You've got to get going. There's a risk to that. Do we just throw the baby out with the bathwater, that phrase, to get you back, and then all of a sudden you're back to square one? So just trying to find that really, the balance of he's right to go again without, you know, minimising the risk. That's really what we're doing. That's like Harley Balich. He's back. He's in my office today. I want to play next week, so we've got to map it out with Jason Webber. Can we get him to the line next week, or you need that soft tissue risk? That's really what goes on.
When you said you pushed too hard with Harley, do you mean that you were trying to build him up almost to the point where he's bulletproof against it or something? Or
100%. 100%. Yeah, he trained that hard. And really simply, he was 40% above our cohort average on leg strength, on calf strength, when he came into the club, probably the weakest. So that gives you context how hard he worked and how hard we'd pushed him. But in hindsight, could we have backed it off earlier? Did we need to take him to that level? But we're trying to build something really strong and sustainable. So the intent and the work rate was amazing, and the intent was healthy, but he's such a quality athlete that we need to take him to that. That's probably the debate.
Is he up to doing everything with the main group, Ross, at the moment, or do you need to...
He'll be out there. We're building. Yeah, he's building. Yeah.
So what does he need to pick off before he plays?
Speed. Yeah, high levels of speed and volume of speed, because that's the risk, because he's so quick.
Have you had a look at the Saints game on the weekend? What are you expecting from him?
Yeah, not at all yet. No, not at all yet. So we just finished our review, and we'll get to them. So, but we know they're a quality team. They're hungry. They're building for the finals. They've got a lot of quality, and we really are challenging ourselves to back up intensity of effort and performance.
And so much unpredictability, I guess, this year. Does that affect the way you look forward?
In what way?
In the way that there's so many upsets and so much. People not expecting different results and stuff. Does that affect, do you focus more internal than...
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah, because, I mean, everyone seems to have a Jekyll and Hyde in them. And maybe it's a cumulative load of the lower interchange and lists, you know, being so equal. If you're off 5% at this level, and it's happening within games and within quarters and big momentum shifts. So, yeah, most of the time you focus on yourself and acknowledge opposition. Here's their key strengths, maybe four things that you'd like to take off them, but... Unless you fix your own football, it doesn't matter what you focus on the opposition.
Have you seen a year like this before, Ross? 17 has beaten one 2 weeks in a row.
Pardon?
17 has beaten one 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, okay, yeah. We all knew this was coming, didn't we? Because that's the equalisation measures of... Mm. And the theoretical model of what's been trying to achieve, even though there's a silver handicap event in a lot of ways, is being achieved, and so it keeps everyone engaged and really exciting round of footy. You know, we all sat there watch West Coast Melbourne, and then you think Bulldogs are right on top, and you flick back and they're won by a point, and then who would have, I think we were $19 going down to Geelong. So I think that puts it in context. Yeah, it's very even, and it's great for everyone really, except coaches.
And tipsters. You mentioned the lower interchange, has that changed your injury profile at all? Are you getting different types of injuries as a result of less rotation?
Nothing that comes to hand. I think we'll all review that. Nothing that jumps out at me. Nothing I could give you that we've ascertained. But in the background, that's been drilled into.
Yeah.